Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Us and help us to understand what it means to be mature in life and mature in the faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So when you think of maturity, what are the things that come to mind? What are some of the things? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of somebody as mature? Growth, okay. Somebody else, what else do you think of? Responsible, wisdom. And so in the natural life, I think four things that should be present in a person who's mature. Responsibility, you have to be a responsible person. And responsibility means that you are geared towards nourishing, protecting, but also there's an independence about your activity. In other words, you don't need people to tell you what to do. You can identify what needs to be done, and then you can accomplish it. That's part of responsibility. One of the things that a person that is not always responsible is that it's because those people are not self-motivated, or they don't recognize that they have to come up with the plan now. As kids, the parents come up with the plan. You know, when you go on vacation, maybe your mom and dad ask you where you guys want to go, and then they hear where you want to go, and they say, no, we're not going there. But then they put out a plan, and then you follow the plan. And that's why it's so important, even as parents, that we allow our kids to learn to be independent, not unruly, but independent in certain areas, because that's how they learn to be responsible. But of course, in order for us to allow them to be responsible, they have to show themselves to be trustworthy first. So the other thing I think would be that a person has to be trustworthy, and I think that's part of being responsible. The second thing that I looked at as a person that's mature is a person that is operating in an area of employment and that they have prepared for. As a person of responsibility, you have to first be able to take care of yourself, and that's the third point, and also have the ability to take care of a family that should follow once you become responsible or mature. So that means that you have to decide what you want to do with your life, and then you have to always rework the plan, because sometimes the plan, the initial plan, does not come to pass. Like I told you many times, I wanted to be an NFL football player and thought I was on the path to that. You know, I did well in high school and got a few scholarship offers, but that's probably where I made my mistake. I didn't take the scholarships. I thought I was better than I was, and so I said, I can walk on anywhere and in the country and play, no matter where it is and who it is. And it turned out to be that was not the case. So I should have taken the scholarship, and then if I wanted to play for a bigger school, I could have done that. So it turns out that I did not realize the dream of playing professional sports. Now, had I not been responsible, I would have lamented that fact and stayed there. And I would have been now 50 years old, still talking about the glory days of high school football. And let me tell you, that's the old, old dream. I'm 55, so I graduated from high school in 1980. So you know how long ago that was. Some of y'all weren't born in 1980. So it would be a horrible thing for me to be still talking about something that happened in the 80s, and I'm still lamenting the fact that I didn't make it. Because at 55, it'd have been over had I made it. So it would be a fruitless conversation. Are you with me here? So maturity says, okay, I didn't make that, so I have to come up with a different plan. I have to come up with a backup plan. And one of the great things that my father did do is that he saw my love for football and he encouraged me to play, but he always told me that you should always have a backup plan. And he put it like this. He says, even if you make it, he says, you got to learn how to count your money. So you got to go to school and learn some things about that. So I always had a secondary plan just in case the first one didn't work. And that's being wise and being prepared and preparing for things that don't happen. Because the reality is all of our plans don't always work. Amen? Or they don't work in the time that we think they should work. And, you know, as when it comes to professional sports, there's only a small window to play. You got from 21 to about 35, and after that, it's over. Maybe you can go, if you're a quarterback or a kicker, you can play into your 40s. But, you know, I was a linebacker, so I know I couldn't play into my 40s. So you always have to be prepared for the unexpected, and that is what part of maturity is. Don't allow the unexpected to make you panic. And the fourth thing, I said the third was to be able to care for themselves and a family. And the fourth thing is to be a person who exercises good judgment. And all these things are things that we should teach our children. That's why we do what we do with our kids. We want them to become mature. We want them to be responsible. We want them to care for themselves. We want them to be able to take care of a family if they have one. And then we also want them to be people of good judgment. So that's the natural maturity. But if you turn the page and go spiritual, some of the things that we need to be spiritually mature is we have to, everybody say have to, learn what the scriptures say and then learn how to apply them in our lives. Everybody say, we got to know the Bible. But see, it's not just enough to know the Bible. We have to know how to accurately apply it to our lives.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. And it says here, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, some of the old King James translations actually says, what is it? Well, go to the King James Version. So I forgot it myself. Study. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So first you have to study the word, and then you have to learn how to rightly divide it. That means, that's another fancy term of saying how to apply it to each circumstance. So the question is, now that you understand the Bible, how does it work in your life? What does it mean to be a person of faith. And how does faith work on a day-to-day basis? Does faith even have a place in the natural world? Or is it just a spiritual thing? And of course, if you read the scriptures and you see it, you see that, of course, faith has application to our daily life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. And then it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And also, faith says it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in our natural life, the promise of our life is the thing that God gives us. And the faith is what we believe about that promise. So if God comes to you and he reveals to you that you're supposed to, you pick something, whatever it is you want to do, then you have to believe that God is able to carry you to that place where you can do what he said you're going to do. I remember in my own life, you know, after the football dream was burst, I started to pray about the next stage, and I started to want to go become a lawyer, and I lifted that up to God. And I remember when I was walking down the university, I can't remember that street, but right in front of Schmitz Hall, you guys, those that went there know what I'm talking about. Schmitz Hall was the administration building. I was going to drop my law application off at law school, and at that time the law school campus was not on the campus of the school. And I said, Lord, I said, as far as a natural job is concerned, I want to be a lawyer. I says, but if I don't get into law school, I'll take that as a direction that this is not what you want me to do. And I'll walk and I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. But as a natural job, I want to be a lawyer. And so I took my application to the University of Washington Law School, and I sent one. At that time it was UPS, and now it's Seattle U. And I sent only those two applications in. And I wanted to go to Cal Berkeley, but at that time Marquise and Michael had come, and we didn't really want to leave the help of our parents and to help us with the kids, so I couldn't go out of state. So those are the only two choices for law schools, either Tacoma or Seattle. And so I prayed and I left it into God's hands and, you know, whatever. And then right, I found out my grandfather was dying of cancer, and Marquise, Michael hadn't even come yet because this was still in early 80s. Anyway, and so we took a trip to Wichita. We didn't drive. We flew. But we tried to drive back, and I'll tell you that part later. So we took my son, because Marquise was the first great-grandchild, so I wanted my mom's dad to see him before he passed away. So we took him down there, and he obviously got to see him, and he was weak at that time, but he had actually had a transformation in his life, and he had actually accepted Christ, and so that was a great thing to see. So on the way back, he was giving my mom a truck, and so it was my and Annis's job to drive it back. Unfortunately, we got to Texas, and it died on us in Dalhart, Texas. I'll never forget it. Probably can barely find it on the map. We actually the car died on the border of New Mexico. We had actually gone into Mexico, New Mexico, and the truck caught on fire. And the New Mexico Fire Department wouldn't come put it out because it was just inside the border and it was too far from them. And the Texas Fire Department wouldn't come and put it out because it was in New Mexico. And so we just had to watch our stuff burn. And my mom had had packed this big old, I don't know if you guys ever seen those old Singer sewing machines that are black and gold and have that little crank thing. So her mother was given her the sewing machine that was from her grandmother that was weighed about 300 or 400 pounds. So I tried to save as much as I could out of the car. Annis was saying, stay away from the fire. Get away from the fire. I said, well, I'm getting my clothes out of there. So I was getting bags out, and I was pulling out suitcases, and I'd bring them over and as much stuff as I could. But, in no way I could carry that sewing machine. And so we just watched the car burn, truck burn, and, TV, the explosion. And it actually exploded, but it was only a poof. I was, oh, man, that's not like TV. I wanted to see it. But they said, well, it was too much gas in the car. I said, had it been less gas, it would have been a bigger explosion. I said, oh, shucks, I just filled it up. But anyway, I say all that, and then after that, we went to Dalhart, Texas. The sheriff took, and then, here we are, black folks in the middle of the South. I'm already like, oh boy, I don't got a gun, I don't have nothing. And if I did have a gun, it probably would have been burned up in the car, so. But this man, the sheriff, was so nice to us. He knew our pastor where we were going to church. And he took us to a hotel that his relatives must have owned the whole town, but they had a hotel and we stayed there, and I don't know if we stayed for free, but we stayed at a reduced rate. He came and drove us around town to go to the store. And this is the sheriff now. So you know God was doing great things here. And then my brother-in-law, Kevin, God bless Kevin. To this day, I really appreciate Kevin. I was glad he married my oldest sister. They were living in Arizona, Phoenix at the time. So he got in the car, came and picked us up, and drove us to their house for a day, and then we drove to L.A., and they paid for us to fly home. And I say all that to say when I got home, I got a letter from the University of Washington. Actually, no, UPS, and I had been accepted into law school. So all the trials and all the tribulations that I had gone to, God was showing me that I am still directing your life. And so that gave me the faith to believe that God, this is the course of life that God wanted me to go on. And you might say, well, how does that have anything to do with being mature? Because I knew the word, and once the word was confirmed by God, now I had the faith to believe that he was capable of fulfilling the promise that he had given me. That's what it means to rightfully divide the word of truth. Allowing the God that we know to speak to us, direct our paths, and then help us to accomplish the goals that he has set us on. Now, the reality is that was just the beginning. I still had to go to law school. I still had to pass exams. I still had to pass the bar exam. So it was just the beginning. But because I had this first assurance, that carried me or propelled me when it got hard.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.